Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Welcome to Breaking the Silence, live from the most awesome and beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas. It is just absolutely awesome to have you with us this evening. And tonight is going to be a great night. I believe you're going to want to grab a notepad and a pencil or a pen to be able to write some things down, because I think we have a lot of good information coming at you. And this is perfect timing for what our guest has as his forte to be able to talk about. Something that sometimes we overlook, just positivity, staying on the right side of life, thinking things in the right way. And so I'm really anxious and to tell you about his book and let him just share with you his life. He obviously has not had a spotless life of no pain or heartache, and he's going to share that tonight. But just welcome to the program. If you want to call in tonight and talk to our guest, or you have a question or a comment, two different ways you can do it. You can dial in straight into the awesome people at BBS radio station at 888-627-6008. Or you can jump right on. And I'm looking at it right now, Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. And my son, Curtis, all the way from Seattle, Washington, is watching this site. And will let us know if there's any comments or questions that go through there. You can do it right through there anonymously, or let us know who you are, and we will let our guests know about your comments or your questions. Also, I want to let you know about the next 2 weeks of guests that we have on. You know, sometimes we just are bombarded with, just average people that just want to tell their story, which is great, and I love that, and we end up getting some great truths out of them. But tonight and the next 2 weeks are blockbusters. Next week, we have Commander Sergeant Major from the United States Army, Saeed Mustafa. Saeed Mustafa. And I'm reading his book right now, and you will not want to miss next week. Commander Sergeant Major from the U.S. Army. He is retired now, Saeed Mustafa. Is going to be with us. And then in 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to have, here I am. And this is the way things work in our world today. I go to Big Lots. Big Lots is just right across the street here, a few blocks away, here at the Texas Medical Center, and just on the other side of the NRG stadium, right next to the NRG stadium where the Texans play. And I was in there the other day, and at the bottom of my receipt, it said, onoursleeves.org. And I thought, what is this all about? So I go to the office the next morning, type that in, and it's all about keeping children safe, abused children, traumatic anxiety things that children go through, how to give them the positive way to look at life, how to teach them how to deal with stress and trauma and hurts and pains and hiccups in life. And I started reading all of the endorsements that this organization deals with, and I contacted them directly. I printed off all their resources. I handed out at some of the speeches that I give, their free resources online to promote them and help them out. And I just decided one day, hey, I'm going to call Wright, the CEO, and the doctor that's in charge of this through Big Lots, that they sponsor, And they responded back. And I think the entire staff is going to be on the program in 2 weeks. And what they have for their mission of on our sleeves and how to get this important information into all of our school systems, literally free of charge. So Harlem Globetrotters supports them, sponsors them. They have all kinds of different sponsors. It's going to be a great program. That'll be in 2 weeks right here on Breaking the Silence. So, all righty. Tonight, we have Coach Michael Taylor, and he is from Stafford, Texas. I thought he was a little farther away. He's just right down. He's just a hop, skip, and jump down the road here from Houston, and he is an entrepreneur, but he's also an author of 10 books and a book that I finished reading for the second time this afternoon that is awesome, called Good News Is, The Future Is Brighter Than You Think. He's a motivational speaker, and I think he has that extra couple gallons in his positivity tank, and we're going to find out how to tap into that and maybe cipher some of that juice into us. And he has his own radio talk show, and he's dedicated his life now to empowering men and women to reach their full potential. I'm not going to read the other parts of his bio. I'll let you just hear it straight from him. Coach Michael Taylor, welcome to the program tonight. Can you hear me?
Dr. Williams, thank you so much for having me. I just want to tell you, first and foremost, I love your platform. As we get into the conversation tonight, obviously we'll be talking about some of my history, but I believe the greatest challenge we have in our society today is to talk about and heal trauma. And when we learn to do that, we can resolve a lot of the social ills that currently plague our world. So I honor you for the work that you're doing and bringing this conversation out to talk about trauma. I think that's so important.
Well, I appreciate that. And I kudos back to you, because it sounds like, and from what I've read and from what I'm seeing online, and I want to make sure everybody can have access to that. So make sure you provide that here in a minute. The work that you're doing. And it seems like, even though you're an author of 10 books, you're just getting tread on your tires and you're starting to grip the road, and you're getting up to speed to go full blast past all of us, probably, into motivating people and speaking and training workshops and going into businesses, schools, churches, probably anybody that will listen to you.
Yeah. And if I could, Dr. Williams, see, my primary focus has been on the changing roles of manhood and masculinity in society.
If we
look at the majority of challenges facing our world, unfortunately, a lot of them are perpetuated by men. Now, men aren't the problem. As I see it, men are trapped in what I call an antiquated paradigm of masculinity, which is the problem. So we have to have a conversation about shifting that paradigm. We have to have a conversation about getting men to get in touch with this new way of being and relating as men. And so, as you mentioned, I'm an optimist. As a matter of fact, my friends gave me a nickname. They call me Michael Happy Ass Taylor. And
because of your business card?
because of my optimism. And one of the reasons I'm so optimistic is, when I started writing back in the 90s and I was writing about men's issues, there were very few resources for men out there. But now when I see programs like yours, you know, men talking about trauma, men talking about abuse that, you know, generally men didn't talk about in the past, it's opening the door for true transformation. And if we as men get courageous enough to engage in these conversations, heal from our traumas, we can change the world for the better.
That's so good. Where is it written that as a man, we can't admit when we've been hurt? Why is it that it takes us years sometimes and a crowbar to pry off our mask and become real? What is it about men and masculinity that we have wrong?
Well, I can actually sum it up for you. I wrote a book called A New Conversation with Men. Okay. And in that book, I identify what I call the five illusions of manhood. Now, this is slightly off topic, but...
Well, that's all right. This is good.
But in the five illusions of manhood, I identified these five illusions. And These five illusions, I believe, are what causes the majority of pain and suffering in a man's life. And illusion number one is, to be a man, you must be non-emotional and disconnected. So since the beginning of time, men have been conditioned to believe that they had three primary responsibilities, what I call the three P's: procreate, provide, and protect. The problem is, men weren't taught how to connect.
Wow.
And the reason men don't know how to connect is because of that first illusion. Because we're conditioned to believe that as a man, we're supposed to be tough. We're not supposed to feel. You know, feelings are for women. Therefore, as men, what do? We deny and suppress how we feel, which drives most of our addictions, which drive most of our unhappiness, because we're disconnected from our authentic selves. And so for men to gain the courage to step into this new paradigm that I'm talking about and become comfortable with expressing how they feel, who they are inside, that's the key to resolving a lot of issues in our society. So as men, once again, we have to have a new conversation. And that new conversation is about men being willing to talk about vulnerability, sensitivity, connectedness. Those are the things that we really long for. We are hungry for intimacy and connection. But if we're trapped in that first illusion that men aren't supposed to feel, then we'll constantly stay disconnected.
That's good. Now, before you get to the other four, because I got to get the other four, or I'm going to go buy your book, one of the two, either probably both. Do you think that has, in the last few years, the nutshell of that has been cracked open a little bit?
Absolutely.
I know when I started writing my book, I couldn't find a book on, besides The Child Called It. That was about the only book that was out there by a man that had been abused. It was more like parental abuse than it was sexual abuse. But sexual abuse was hard to find anybody that would stand up and go, hey, wait, in men. So you've seen kind of a turn in that, a shift in that?
Well, once again, the irrepressible optimist in me sees a major shift, because the current paradigm of masculinity is no longer sustainable. And here's why. In our country, for the first time, you know, there are more women in the workforce than men. Okay. In our society, there are now more women graduating from college than men. So what's happening? Roles are changing. Men no longer have a choice, because the roles are shifting. And so in order for us as men to keep up with these changing roles, we have to embrace some new ways of being and relating as men. Because think about it. Women are no longer just staying home barefoot and pregnant. They're going out starting companies. They're vice president of the United States. So the roles have changed. But for a lot of men, it's really uncomfortable, because we think, as men, we're supposed to do the three P's. And now the women are saying, well, I don't need you to pay for this. I don't need you to buy it. I can do that myself. So what women are hungry and longing for are men who are connected, not just financially, materially, but emotionally and spiritually. So that shift is occurring. And when I started writing back in 1994, you know, there were just a couple of books about men's issues. I don't know if you're familiar with Robert Bly and Iron John. He was, you know, we call him the father of the men's movement. But since that time, there are an infinite number of coaches and books and men talking about this new paradigm of masculinity that I'm talking about. And the fact that you even have a show in which men are talking about trauma and abuse tells me that we're moving in the right direction. And the way I talk about it in the, you know, the Good News Is book, it's like there's this evolutionary process that we're going through as human beings. And I believe now what we're doing is we're evolving in consciousness. We're waking up to who we truly are as human beings. And a part of that male transformation is part of that evolutionary process, which is inevitable, in my opinion.
Wow. Good evening. That was an awesome welcome to the program start. Okay, so then you can't leave us hanging. What's the other four?
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Illusion number two is to be a man, you must use sexual conquest as a gauge for manhood.
Wow, that's deep. That's a whole program right there.
Illusion number three is to be a man, you must have money and material possessions. Illusion number four, to be a man, you must have titles, positions, and power.
Wow.
And illusion number five, to be a man, you must constantly compete with and try to outdo other men. Now, if you look at those five illusions, I can assure you, no matter what social ill you'll look at, one of those illusions is usually driving the behavior of a man who acts out in what we might call toxic masculinity.
Yeah, and this doesn't, this covers age, nationality, race.
Absolutely.
Because I would imagine it's this way completely around the world with those same five illusions, correct?
Absolutely. Doesn't matter what part of the world you're coming from. It's all about masculinity. It's all about how society has constructed these beliefs, these ideas of what it means to be a man. And it's time for us to blow that up and to change that. And it's time for us to shift the conversation to allow, to allow men to get comfortable and recognize who they really are. And healing from trauma is part of that process in doing that.
So when we take the step of going, okay, this is who I really am, this is what happened to me, we're starting a movement in the right direction, not only for all people that have experienced trauma, but for men to actually admit to the world. And that's the reason it took me 30 some years to do it, because I thought if I would share it, I would lose my manhood. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what drives most male negative behavior, is that society has conditioned us to believe that we're supposed to be a certain way. And one of those ways to being tough and to not show vulnerability, right? So what we have to be willing to do as men is to recognize that it is now okay for us to, shall I say, get real, meaning stop hiding behind the mask, stop pretending to be what we're not. And the only way to do that, I believe, is for us to be willing to do that inner healing work that allows us to move past any traumas that we may not even recognize as impacting our lives.
Wow, that is so good, and it's so needed, and we need to make the shift. And if anybody's listening tonight, now's the time, right? I mean, why wait another day? We can start making the moves in the right direction.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, Dr. Williams, because a lot of people see me and they go, man, you're so optimistic. And a lot of people think I'm in denial because I'm always so positive and so happy. But let me just kind of, if I could, give a little backstory of, you know, how I got involved with all of this. I think that's really important to kind of set the context for our conversation.
So give us a little nutshell of it, because we have about 30 seconds and we'll take a break. But just give us a little teaser of what you're going to talk about on the other side of the break.
So the teaser is, at the age of 23, I was living the American dream.
Yeah.
With the house, the wife, the 2.5 kids and all that. By the age of 26, my dream turned into a nightmare as I went through a divorce, bankruptcy, foreclosure, depression. I was actually homeless for 2 years, living out of my car. So I'll set the stage for the rest of the conversation. We'll talk about it when we get back.
Okay, thank you. We'll take our first break, 888-627-6008. Make sure you get online with Breaking the Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page if you have any thoughts or comments. And we're going to come back for the rest, as old Paul Harvey used to say, for the rest of the story, because we have the intro of what happened and how we're going to get back to this positivity. Don't leave us. We'll be right back after this first commercial break. Finally coming very soon will be the release of my second book in the three-part trilogy, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. Now, this book will be an in-depth look at the many different facets and emotions that a person goes through when they're experiencing anxiety and trauma in their life and they're simply searching for hope. And an exciting addition to this book will be a companion journal guide that will come along with it. Also, there's going to be something that I'm very excited about, the youth version of this book called When Dark Clouds Come, The Roadmap to Hope. And it's going to be an excellent tool and guide for teenagers dealing with stress in their lives. So stay tuned for the release date coming very, very soon for these exciting new resources. Now back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams on the BBS Radio Network. Welcome back. I do realize this is football Sunday, playoff Sunday. You can actually set your computer up right like this and have your big screen right there. And you can just kind of watch that, but listen to this, put that on mute. I'm not watching football. I'm not that interested this year since Texans were out of it before the season even started. But welcome back to the program. We're just glad to have Coach Michael Taylor. And he is fixing to tell us how he had the world by the tail, and then something happened.
As mentioned, you know, after living the American dream and watching that dream turn into a nightmare, I actually received a miracle. I was sitting up late one night because I was too depressed to sleep. And I was sitting at the edge of my bed, looking across the room at my bookshelf, when I happened to notice that every book on my bookshelf had something to do with getting rich or making money.
Yeah, Napoleon Hill's book and all of those, right?
Absolutely. And as I looked at those books, this question just popped in my head. Michael, what if you took all the energy and effort you've used in trying to get rich and simply figure out how to be happy?
Wow.
Now, as simplistic as that question sounds, it literally changed and saved my life in an instant. Something in me shifted. And all of a sudden, I had this amazing clarity that I was going to be able to rebuild my life and it was going to become extraordinary. And as a result of asking that question, I stopped reading books on getting rich and making money. I started reading books on psychology and philosophy and spirituality and metaphysics and personal development. And I went on this amazing journey of transformation. And I was able to rebuild my life. Now, at the beginning, you're familiar with Anthony Robbins, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
So Anthony Robbins, the motivational speaker, I really loved his work. So I got involved with his work and I actually did the walking on hot coals barefooted. I don't know if you've ever seen that. So
yes.
I was doing all this work and I was really changing, but there was something still missing that I couldn't figure out. And then I ran across a guy named John Bradshaw. And John Bradshaw was a therapist who unfortunately passed away a few years ago, but he was a therapist that was really famous for doing inner child work. And so I went to a 3-day seminar with John Bradshaw called Healing Your Inner Child. And it wasn't until I did his work that I really started to understand the foundation of my behavior. And what I uncovered was I had possibly the worst childhood a child could experience. Every imaginable type of abuse I experienced from the age of 6 to 13.
Now, was you aware of it before you was starting to go through the seminars and things of that order? Had you blocked it out?
I completely blocked it out. See, and what I learned from John Bradshaw is that as a result of the trauma that I experienced, what I did as a defense mechanism is I became really smart and I became a really good Mr. Nice Guy. So in creating this mask of Mr. Nice Guy, it was how I coped with all of that trauma. Now, when I did John Bradshaw's work, what it allowed me to do was to heal. And the most important aspect of my healing came, I read one of his books called Healing the Shame That Binds You. And what I uncovered was, what had been driving me most of my life was what he called toxic shame.
Yeah. Oh,
I had that inner feeling that I was defective, that I was unlovable, that nobody loved me. So what did I do? I tried to compensate that by being extremely nice, being smart, being codependent. And that's how I kind of tried to deal with it. Well, in going through his workshop and doing that healing work, I was able to let go of all of that. I was able to heal that trauma and become free. So all that motivational Anthony Robbins rah-rah stuff, which is great, nothing wrong with that at all. But it wasn't until I did that deep inner healing work, healing the trauma from childhood, that I became free.
What was a couple of the key elements that you had to get a grip on with dealing with all of the garbage that you went through, all the pain you went through in those years as a child? What were some of the things that you had to, besides shame and getting over that, anything else that you just really had to get a hold of before
the most healing started to take place? Yeah, the most important aspect was me simply being able to identify how I felt.
Yeah.
Because I had completely blocked off my emotions. I had completely shut down anger. I tried to hide behind being nice all the time. And so to me, you know, being angry was one of those reminders of the abuse that I experienced as a kid. So I didn't want to go there. So I basically had shut down that part of myself. But when I did his work, I understood and I learned that it's okay to express my anger. It was okay to express my sadness. It was okay to express the fear. And all of those things had been shut down, okay, as a result of the trauma. So the most important lesson that I learned in John Bradshaw's work was just how out of touch I was from how I felt.
So what kind of forward progress did you make when you actually finally, because this was huge for me, to say, I was sexually abused when I was a child? When I said it for the first time, it was like I was fast forwarded to healing. Like, wow, just admitting it, not hiding it anymore, was huge for me. How about you?
Yeah, because there was so much shame in that for me. Yeah. That when I finally got to, because there was a time when I couldn't say those words to anybody. Now, before I went to John Bradshaw, I actually had spent some time in therapy. And my therapist had kind of opened the door for me to start addressing some of those issues. But at the time, I wasn't really ready to deal with the real pain that was there. She did kind of open a door for me. But John Bradshaw's work is what really swung that door wide open, gave me the courage to deal with, and most importantly, feel the pain. Feel the pain so I could release it. And so I think that's one of the things that sometimes we may skip over. We will try to intellectualize it, but it isn't until we feel it that we can heal it. And so for me, I had to allow myself to feel that hurt. Feel that sadness, feel that shame, and in releasing it, and obviously in doing so, extremely painful, extremely painful. I mean, you know, tears and gallons of tears coming out, but in letting it go is how we become free. Because I believe if we look at it from an energetic perspective, which I do, I think as human beings, we have what some might call an energetic body, which is our spirit, you might want to call it. And if we have unresolved, trapped, negative energy inside of us, it shows up in a lot of different ways that we're completely unconscious of. But that energy stays trapped in us until we allow ourselves to feel it and heal it and release it.
Yeah, you know, I've heard, and I wish I could figure out who I heard this from, but I've read and listened to so many different people. I heard about this negativity, that when we think we have negativity buried and down in our lives and it never will show its ugly face again, in reality, that negativity is in the basement of our heart lifting weights, and it's going to come back stronger than ever one day at the worst possible time and cause more damage than what it ever could have if we were just dealt with it head on at the beginning.
You know, they said, if you can feel it, you can heal it.
Yeah.
And I think what happens, especially in our society, for example, for me, I used to hide behind positivity.
Oh, yeah.
I used to hide behind everything's okay. Everything's great. I remember when I went to therapy for the first time, I'll never forget. I'm sitting there and I'm so depressed that I go to this therapist and I finally gained the courage to go in. I'm talking to the therapist. And so the therapist said, you know, tell me some of the things that happened in your childhood. So I started sharing some of the things that had happened. For example, I was raped by a female cousin. You know, I was sexually abused by a friend of the family. When I was 6 years old, I was separated from my mom, which again caused a lot of abandonment issues. So I was sort of sharing some of those things with her. And as I was sharing them, I had this huge smile on my face. And she said, Michael, why are you smiling? She said, those things were terrible. Now, my response was, I'm okay. Now, think about that. I'm in a therapist's office, depressed, the whole nine yards, and I'm telling her that I'm okay. That's the big D, denial, right? So the therapist, in her infinite wisdom, she says, Michael, how would you feel if those things happened to your son?
Oh.
And as soon as she said that, it's like I got out of my head and into my heart. And for the first time, I started to allow myself to feel some of that pain that had been trapped inside of me for 30 years. But it was me taking my attention off of myself and thinking about my son that allowed me to get in touch with the feeling, the energy of it all. And so that's when that healing process started.
Isn't it amazing how much power we have to compartmentalize these things and literally put them out of our mind and pretend? And men, unfortunately, I think are pros at it.
Yeah, and there's a couple of ways to look at this. And Doc, this is how I look at it. I believe as human beings, we have what I call the big S self and the little S self. The little S self I'll call the ego. Okay. Now, a lot of people see the ego as a bad thing. The ego is not a bad thing. The ego is simply our defense mechanism. The ego's job is to protect us. When we start creating these masks, it's our ego's way of protecting us from the pain that we're going through.
It's the Novocaine.
Yeah.
Get us through the dentist appointment. Yeah.
Exactly. So what happens is the ego is defending us. Okay. So if we experience a lot of pain and trauma in our lives, the ego gets really strong because it knows it needs to do that to protect us. Well, while we're stuck in the ego or the little ass self, our big ass self, our authentic self is kind of in the background. It's there, but we're not paying attention to it because the ego is so strong. When we do our healing work, what we do is we allow that ego to start moving out of the way. We start healing it. And it goes, okay, I don't have to defend you so much anymore. And then the big ass self says, hey, this is who you truly are. Mm. But we have to be willing to heal that ego, this little ass self, so that we can get to the authentic self, the divine self, the God self, if you will, the big ass self. And all human beings have it. But to access it, we have to heal the little less self because it's generally what's running our show.
Was your fear that people wouldn't like or love your authentic self if you ever showed the world who you really were?
No, my biggest fear when I started this process, and I didn't realize this until I was in that therapist's office, but my biggest fear was that if I allowed myself to feel the pain, I wouldn't be able to stop it.
Mm.
So I had this defense mechanism to not feel that pain.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until, for example, when I was in a therapist's office and she asked me that question about my son and I allowed myself to feel for just a moment, I immediately felt some intense pain that I could only handle it for about 10 seconds. And then my mind kicked in and said, whoa, what did you just do? And then I got mad at her, asking her, what did she do to make me do that? Right? So I'm trying to convince, or I'm accusing her of tricking me. But see, that was just my ego defenses, trying to not feel. But then when I surrendered and allowed myself to feel that hurt and that pain, I was able to let it go. Now, with her, I sort of opened the door. But with John Bradshaw's work, I completely kicked it open. And I allowed myself to feel that pain at the deepest level possible, and I was able to heal it and move through it.
That's powerful. When you were a child and teenagers and teenage age, and then even in your 20s and getting married, and did writing your feelings, emotions, journaling, notebooking, your thoughts down on paper, did any of that ever, was that ever a part of your routine?
I didn't get involved in this work until I was in my 30s. I didn't start writing and journaling until after going through my divorce and all of that. Matter of fact, when I started writing in a journal and I started healing, I didn't recognize that I knew how to write. But being able to express myself through my journal is how I actually became a writer in my 30s, in my late 30s, as a matter of fact. And right. So this healing process, and this is, again, I believe that there is a divine intelligence that created and is still creating this amazing universe that we live in. And I think this intelligence is in us. And when we access it, we access some unique gifts and talents that have been bestowed upon us. And so my divorce, as painful and difficult as it was the catalyst that I needed to wake up to who I really am as a human being. It's how I uncovered my unique gifts and talents. For example, I never went to school to write, to learn how to write. As a result of my journal, I started being able to put my thoughts together and express myself. And then all of a sudden, a friend of mine said, Mike, I need you to write. Can you write this little thing? Because I was having a conversation about my healing journey. And she says, would you write a little article about it? I said, sure. And from that article, I realized, wow, I can do this. And I've been writing ever since.
So, and you write wonderfully. Great talent.
It's a gift. It's an absolute gift.
So how did you endure during those years of pain and hurt and trauma? What was that one savior that you leaned on? And I have some goofy ones in my own world, but what got you through those darkest nights?
Well, if there's such a thing as a resiliency gene, my mom passed it on to me. So when I first began this process of healing, I was actually an atheist. I didn't believe in God. And I think there were some benefits to that for me. But as I went on this journey and the deeper I went into my healing, I came to an understanding, because for me, one of the reasons that I confirmed my atheism was because when I started going to therapy and I started feeling better, I started asking myself, well, why do I need this God thing? Because I'm feeling better. My life's getting back on track. So I don't need anything other than myself, right? But as I continued my healing journey, there was a part of me that kept saying there's got to be more. I don't know what the more is, but I mean, like I said, I put my life back together and I was feeling good about myself. I had done a lot of healing. And then eventually I started asking myself some deeper questions about this whole thing called God. And I went on this amazing journey, started researching all the major religions in the world and trying to just come to my own truth and understanding about God. And it, you know, it took several years, but I ultimately found the place that really works for me. It has allowed me to connect to that which is greater than myself, which I choose to call divine intelligence. And now in retrospect, what I can see is that that was my saving grace. divine intelligence, God, if you choose to use that word, was always there.
Oh, yeah. Always there.
Was always there. And I'm reminded of, you know, the story, Footprints in the Sand, which I'm sure we all know that story. And as I look back, even when I was an atheist, you know, that's in the footprints. That's when there were only two sets of footprints, because God was carrying me through even my denial of its existence.
Yeah.
So through grace, through this amazing loving presence that I choose to call divine intelligence, I now see how even the darkest moments, it was there. And it was how and why I was able to overcome all those obstacles and adversities that I mentioned.
Wow. And we're going to drill, I'm going to drill a little bit deeper into that on the other side of this last commercial break. When we come back, I really want to find out where all this positivity and optimism comes from, because, hey, have you not looked out the window, Coach? I mean, come on. Do you not read the newspaper? What's going on? And we're going to find out, how do you keep that? And then what's some of the things that you're going around and sharing with people about, especially during what looks like a bad time to live? But according to you, you have a different look on that and a different perspective on that. We're going to find out more about that when we get to the last segment right after this last commercial break. Hang with us. We'll be right back.
HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers A Child Called It and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back. It's awful when you get to my age and be able to see, you have to lift your glasses. But I'm looking at I'm looking at all the text that I'm getting right now. And you've hit the nerve on a lot of people. And they're saying, hey, preach it. Keep talking. You're doing great. This is awesome. And just a lot of positive comments. So you're hitting especially men, which is interesting, because normally I don't get too many men that comment. And this is great. Before we get into why do you feel something special about this moment in time? There is a quote. I'm going to steal this from your book. There's a quote in chapter 6 that a friend said to you that made me laugh. And every time I read it, both times through, I laughed out loud. And I just love it. And I want to get your thoughts on it, since I have you here with us live. If one person called you a jackass, you probably shouldn't worry about it. But if two or more call you a jackass, you probably ought to go get a saddle. I love that quote. Tell me where that came from.
Well, see, I was having a pity party with a female friend of mine. And I was telling her, I said, you know, you women all say you want a good man and I'm a good man. And why you women keep leaving me? And she, in her infinite wisdom, she looked at me and that's exactly what she said. And she finished it by saying this: have you not noticed that you're the only common denominator in all of your relationships?
Yikes.
Now, the good news is, when she said it, I heard it. I mean, yeah. I really heard it, because I went, oh my goodness.
The bell went off.
It's not the women in my life. It's me. And so as a result of that conversation, I knew that I had to take responsibility for how I participated in relationships. And as a result of that question and that conversation I had with her, I spent 5 years, I chose to be celibate. I chose to not be in a relationship. I said, I'm going to figure out how to make relationships work.
Wow.
And now I've been blissfully married for the past 19 years, been with my wife for 21 years, and I couldn't be happier. But again, it was a journey. It was a journey, and it was a process that even on to today, I'm still on this journey of learning more about myself. But I live with a simple question. How can I be better?
You ask yourself that question every day?
Absolutely, every day. How can I be a better writer? How can I be a better husband? How can I be a better father? How can I live in that question. And it's constantly challenging me to become the best version of myself.
That's awesome. Now, before we scare out a rabbit from the bush and run straight up to cutoff time, take 30 seconds, a minute or whatever, to let people know how to get in touch with you, your webpage, how you would love to be able to reach out to people, people to reach out to you, and how to get your books, all of that now. And so when we get to the end of the program, if we run long, we won't cut that off. I want to make sure they have that information. What's the best way?
So my primary website is coachmichaeltaylor.com. Okay. And we were going to have a conversation about the good news is the future is brighter than you think, which I really believe that's the case. The future is brighter than most people think. And actually put together a little package for your listeners. If you'll go to www.idontbelievethehype.com, you can access the book there with a special Dr. Williams discount. And again, it's idontbelievethehype.com. And you can gain access to the good news is the future is brighter than you think.
Well, fantastic. I don't believe the hype.com. Do you put an asterisk? I mean, apostrophe?
Nope. No. Okay. I don't believe the hype.com. All one sentence.
Well, great. Thank you for that. And I recommend everybody to go out and do that right now. I mean, type it in your phone so you don't forget it. Did you give your email or website?
Yeah, CoachMichaelTaylor.com, and email is mtaylor@CoachMichaelTaylor.com.
Can you get the book right on some of your books right on Amazon?
Absolutely. All of my books are available on all online bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Books A Million. It's all out there.
I love that. Okay, fantastic. Okay, now let's get down to the last just couple minutes that we have. You mentioned that there's never been a better time to be alive on the planet. I always like to end the program with hope, positivity. Get through, keep on going, don't stop, don't give up. Why in the world would you make a statement like that and support that with some facts?
Well, first and foremost, if you pay attention to mainstream media, and I had a report that I misplaced, but there was a guy did this report and he says, the media can only, or shall I say, only shows us approximately 16% of what's happening in the world. Okay? Primary media, about 16% of what's happening in the world. Now, if you look at all the major stations, their goal is if it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah.
That's how they get people to watch. Now, it is my belief that a society is simply a reflection of the consciousness of its people. That's what makes up a society, the consciousness of its people. We may not admit this, but collectively, as a country, America loves violence. How do I know that? Turn on your television. Look at the news. What are you going to see? Violence. But remember, they're only showing us 16% of what's happening in the world. What about the other 84%? There are so many more things that are right with the world than are wrong with it. And yet we tend to focus on what we see in the media. So it's important, it's critical that we minimize the amount of negativity that we allow in our minds.
Yeah.
Because we've all heard the term G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. So if we're constantly allowing all this negativity in our minds, what happens is subconsciously, we start thinking negative thoughts. When we start thinking negative thoughts, ultimately, we're starting to have negative actions, and we aren't even conscious that we're doing it. And so if you look at society as a whole, we sometimes forget that America is actually a very young country. America as a whole is like, what, 250 years old, right? So we look at all the bad news out there, and we go, oh, we got racial this, we've got Omicron this, we got all this negativity going on. But if you really stop and think about it, in our short 250 year history as a country, think about how far we've come.
Yeah.
Now, I'm 61 years old, okay? I remember segregation, right? I was a child of the 60s. Now, we hear a lot of conversations these days about America being a racist country. I personally don't believe that. Now, are there races within the country? Of course there are. But if you look at the progress we've made in this country in my short 60-year time frame, how can you not be optimistic about the trajectory that we're on? Because the younger generation now are exposed to diversity. So it's no longer just black or white. And these young kids, if you looked at the Black Lives Matter movement, which was all races coming together to talk about the challenges that we still have in this country, but ultimately there's a shift that's occurring. And I will assert, and this is just Michael Taylor's assertion, that you remember when the George Floyd incident happened?
Oh, absolutely. Obviously here in Houston. Yeah, sure.
So that experience to me was one that cracked open the heart of America in a new way. Because for a lot of white people, they were thinking, oh, America is no longer a racist country because we hired a black president, so racism is gone, right? No, we had to be awakened again to the tragedies of this country not living up to its ideals about race. And George Floyd's murder was an opportunity for us as a country to really look at that. And yeah. I think collectively, white people went, oh my gosh, I need to rethink this thing because that was not right.
Yeah, so, you're right.
So if you look at after George Floyd, if you look at the conversation now, people talking about diversity and inclusion and the amount of organizations that are now promoting this whole diversity and inclusion thing, it's all part of human evolution. Human beings are still evolving. Are you familiar with Barbara Marx Hubbard?
Yes, just a little bit, but nothing of major, no.
So Barbara Marx Hubbard wrote an amazing book called Conscious Evolution. And in her book, what she theorizes, rightfully so, I believe, is that
we have 1 minute. Yeah, go ahead.
Human beings are still evolving. And she says we're evolving from what we call Homo sapiens to what she calls Homo universalis. And as human beings, we have to understand that we're all one.
Yeah.
We're all the same. And I believe we're evolving to that.
That's great. And I think sometimes when we go through challenges and endure trauma and tragedy, and it's kind of like the gold going through the refining mill. Sometimes the heat, sometimes the pressure, if we can get rid of the junk, makes us better and stronger. And I'm like you, I really think on the other side of this, we as a people, we as America, we as a nation can come out stronger and better than we've ever been before. Absolutely. In our entire history.
Yeah. I believe so.
Hey, Michael, thank you for being here with us tonight. Get online and do that. I don't believe the hype.com and get the book and look at it and read it. And I appreciate you being with us tonight. Thank you so much from Stafford, Texas, Coach Michael Taylor. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Williams.
Thank you. As I do each and every week, I always like to let you know we close out every week the same way. No matter what you've gone through, like Coach Michael, like me in our past, no matter what you're going through right now, no matter what you're going to deal with tomorrow, there's always hope. Always, always hope. Hang on to that. Join us right here next week for another live edition of Breaking the Silence, live from Houston, Texas. Have an awesome, awesome week and an awesome commemorative Martin Luther King Day tomorrow. God bless y'all. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.